Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for tonight, September 17th, and I'm joined tonight by my sister, Denise.
Hello.
How are you? Didn't think you were there for a second. And tonight we are joined for part three of a four-part series on the Lifetime reality show, Blush. We're joined by Nolan Robert tonight. Hi, Nolan.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. We're great. Good. Welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm so excited to talk to you guys.
Yeah. So let's start off tonight by you just telling us a little bit about yourself. When did you start your career as a makeup artist, and how did you wind up on Blush?
In a nutshell, I started out as a performance artist. In musical theater is kind of what my major was. But I've always was an artist since the age of seven. So as I studied theater, musical theater, I also studied the sketching and drawing and so on and so forth. And that kind of, gave me that artistic ability. And then I found the love and passion for makeup while I was on tour with certain musicals that I did and had to do my own makeup. And then I worked for Disney, and I had to do my own zebra stripes. And I started buying my first caboodle, which I remember buying my first caboodle. I was so excited. And started playing with my friends, doing their makeup, and so on and so forth, which led me eventually moving to New York, which I auditioned for, musicals as well as a freelance makeup artist, and then moved back to California and applied for MAC Cosmetics. And then I was with MAC for about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for a very long time, which, through that, my career with MAC, I did everything with them, and as much as I could, and I learned so much, and I did all the fashion shows and so on and so forth that they do. It's a great schooling for any makeup artist to be a part of. In 2008, I decided to, end my relationship with MAC and go on my own and put my name out there. And I did, a lot of free gigs, and I did a lot of sacrificing. I drove to L.A. every single day, and I did every single shoot that I could get my hands on, and which led me, a cover shoot in Advocate magazine and working with, some celebrities from America's Top Model to American Idol. And, a lot of it was free. A lot of it was, very peanuts, right? Just peanuts. Mm-hmm. And in June, I got a call from IMG, which is the production studio that produced Blush, and they asked me to come in the next day for an audition. I guess someone referred me to them, so I didn't even know there was a show coming out for a makeup artist. I had always thought about it, but I never knew there was going to be such a show, and I auditioned the next day, and that's how I got on the show.
Oh, wow.
I have a very short description.
That's quite all right. But let me go back just a little bit. You said that you were with MAC for 10 years, and then you left in 2008. How hard was it to leave MAC and almost stepping out on your own? Because, with MAC, like you said, it was a great schooling. I'm pretty sure that there were lots of opportunities. You said you did all the shows with them and all of that. How hard was it to leave all of that, to move on to doing something different? Well, not necessarily different, but sort of on your own.
Well, through the 10 years, I always freelanced. So I kind of got that, I kind of got that familiarity. I was familiar with it. I wasn't scared to step on my own because I was doing that and running a freelance business on the side anyway. So
okay.
I too afraid because my backup was, you know, doing weddings. And as a makeup artist, you know, that's very lucrative and very, you make very good money there. So, you know, I definitely had that as my, to make money and so forth. But I wanted to just dive into the entertainment business head first and meet everybody and get my name out there as much as I can and see where that takes me. And I just visualized myself, you know, making this much money by the end of 2008 going into 2009. You know, I just visualized that, and that's kind of where my goal was. And it, you know, it happened pretty quickly where I got to on the show. But, you know, I was terrified because after 10 years, you kind of build that trust. You know, you don't know there's anything else besides Mac up there.
Right.
You know, and your friends, your family, you know, they become your family, your coworkers, and so forth. And the company's amazing. I still stand by that company. You know, it was a good experience, and it taught me everything I needed to know. And everything happened for a reason, right? So I just kind of bring that back. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
now,
I just kind of admitted one day I was like, okay, I'm just going to leave.
I think sometimes it gets to a point where you're doing something or the same thing for so long, you just want a change. You want to do something new. Not that what you're doing is bad. It's just that you
right.
want to do something new.
Yeah, as an artist, you kind of want to challenge yourself and learn something different. It's not that I don't like doing makeup on your everyday person and so forth, but you know, you kind of want to challenge yourself and see what else is out there as an artist. You know, you always want to grow.
Right.
And, you know, you always want to learn different techniques, and you have to meet new people and see what they're doing and apply it to what you do and so on. So, you know, you get stuck at a certain place, especially if that place is really, really, you know, good and amazing opportunities. So, you know, it was hard to answer your question. It was definitely hard.
Exactly. Well, speaking of challenges, how challenging was it to be a contestant on Blush for you? Because it seems like you come from a background where you were very experienced. So I'm just wondering, was there ever a time on the show where you felt like, okay, this is a little bit much?
Yeah, every day. Every day. Oh, my gosh. It was terrifying. Like, you know, you're jumping into something in a world of cameras and time limits and
right.
crazy roommates. And personalities, and no one you know, and no one you trust, and you're put in this situation where you're working back to back, and you're filming two episodes in a day, and you're super tired. You're having 3 hours of sleep. You're on all you're eating is peanut butter jelly and coffee.
Oh,
and lots of Red Bull, you know, because you're so you're so nervous that you can't even eat, and so it was really grueling, but in the flip side, it was the most amazing experience, you know, so it was so much fun at the same time, and you meet all these wonderful people that you become close friends with, but the challenges were definitely something that we kind of had sleepless nights over.
Right.
Like, we never know what we're going to do at 6 o'clock in the morning the next day. We're, like, getting mic'd, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm, like, freaking out. I'm shaking.
So your days were as early as 6 in the morning, or before then,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, and we would film to, you know, we'd film sometimes to 1 o'clock, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then wake up at 6, and Max would come inside. You know, the only thing that got me and Todd up was Max coming to our room and singing the Star Trek theme song, and that got me up so quickly, and we were laughing, and he had his curlers in his hair, and his leopard silk, you know, robe. And, you know, that was the moments that I missed. And that's what kind of got us up. And we started dancing around. And, you know, it was fun. And then we would, you know, think about what we're going to have to do. And you know, when you're in a situation where you're challenged, you have to put your best foot forward. And I think we all did that. So you kind of you get nervous when you get there. But once your talent in the chair, you know, you just do your thing.
Right.
Let me ask you this, Nolan. I know you said you lived in New York for a while. Did you know Todd from New York, or did you all just meet at the show?
No, I met him on the show.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, but when we met, it was like we've known each other for years.
Yeah, exactly, because you all were just super close right away.
Yes, you know, even after the show, when we came home, he came out here and stayed with me for about 2.5 weeks. You know, we went out every single night and planned stuff and shoots and so on. So, yeah, we were super close.
Oh, good. And another question, early on, I think it was your second show, I believe, you all had a competition where animals were involved.
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, you and Todd, I think you had to do, I think you got the zebra?
Yes.
So it took me back to what you said about early on in your career painting zebra stripes.
Yes.
So did that experience help you in that competition?
It's funny because my friends even said that. They're like, it's full circle because in Lion King, in Disney, I was a zebra. I was a dancer, you know, as well, like musical theater, dancing, acting, all those things. Just kind of what my passion was before. But I was a dancer and I was a zebra, so we had to paint zebra stripes. So definitely that brought me back. And I was like, you know, we wanted to parent, actually. That's the animal we really wanted, but when we got the zebra, you know, it was kind of like, oh yes, you know, we had a vision right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
What
it's
about
so crazy.
The very first competition with the food? What were you thinking when they told you that you had to use food? What was going through your
mind?
Well,
We moved in, and then we had to go into the room where they filmed us doing the challenges, and I saw the buffet table, and immediately before we talked to the host, and we met the host, and we met Charlie Green and all those, and the Max Factor people and so on, I saw the buffet, and immediately I said to myself, oh, my God, we're going to have to use all that food, because why would we eat, like, cake and donuts? You know, like, is it meant for us to eat all this? Like, they wouldn't have all these pastries for us to eat. So, yeah, I kind of knew. So right when I saw that, I wasn't even listening to Vanessa Marcel speak. I was kind of planning what to do in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even know what she said until I watched the show. That's why I was the facial expression they kept showing me was hysterical, because when I concentrate, my eyes get really big. And I always hate that so much. And I could see that I was concentrating and thinking.
Right. What? Now, did you notice that whenever you all were given assignments for the different competitions, did you notice Maxie and his response each time? Because it seems to me that every time you could just see him thinking right away, like, you know, like he had thoughts that were coming to his mind, because I mean, he had the most amazing kit. Like, he had everything in it. Like, how did he plan for that? It seems like he just knew to bring every single thing. And so it's like,
yes.
Each competition, he was automatically he was thinking. You could tell he was thinking.
Right. Yes. I mean, he brought his kit of his bag of goodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some people did and some people didn't. You know, we were all told to bring a small kit.
Mm-hmm.
And he was smart enough to bring his, you know, his little play, you know, fun things to bring and use in the competition. So that was amazing that he did that. So I could see, you know, we all talked even before the competition and would start, and you could see all of us thinking about what we're going to do, and you could see him making his little stencils and feather in his little gluing little things to his lashes and stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could definitely see him thinking, for sure.
Now, speaking of Maxie, because I felt like watching the show, I felt like Maxie could have been your biggest competition. Do you agree with that?
I think so. I think we all have a certain style, including Todd.
Mm-hmm.
I think Maxie has a very psychotic vision, which is amazing, you know, like Warhol or Picasso. You know, it's like, you know, very artistic in his mind. I think Todd had a very fresh start because his youth and so on, and he had a very fresh take on makeup, and he was willing to embrace everything and go for it. And I and my thing was about precision. I'm all about lines and blending.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have different strengths, you know, and I think he was definitely, as far as artistic ability, he was definitely, you know, I wouldn't say I was greater, he was greater. You know, we were both strong.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree with that, because I think, you know, if you just told both of you just to go and do makeup and then you had to pick someone, I thought that it would have been very hard to just pick someone that way. Because, like I said, I agree that I didn't think anybody was, you know, between the three of you, Todd, Maxie, and yourself, I thought all three of you were really great, and probably you all were each other's biggest competition. I remember an episode where I think Maxie was saying he thought you were his biggest competition, and then I think you were saying Maxie was your biggest competition.
Right.
But I just thought that the three of you, when it came down to the three of you, I was like, oh, my God, any of these guys could win. You know, because
right.
I thought that each of you were just that good, that any of you could win. But how was it with the three of you, and then, you know, you had one woman, Sarah? Because we asked her, how did it feel to be, you know, the last woman standing? You may not have thought of it this way, but did you think when it came to the final four that Sarah would be one of them?
Yeah, I did. I thought she was, you know, I think everyone in the competition were really strong, but I don't think that we knew, like, when we got thrown into this situation that's really chaotic, and you have, you know, what's not shown on TV is the time frames. You maybe have an hour, but that includes you repositioning yourself and, you know, you moving this way, you doing little interviews. They don't cut the time off at all. But we didn't do the best, and the women didn't do the best of their ability. But if you look at their books, they were very strong artists. You know, Jessica had she's part of a really good agency, and she has amazing work. So I think, but out of the girls, I'm really sad because they're represented, you know, not in the best light. And,
mm-hmm.
and all the blogs are talking about them and so on. But they were great artists, and Sarah definitely was one of the strongest females. So from the very beginning, from the very first episode, like the disco episode, I thought her makeup was not, you know, I know it was really strong and really, really heavy, but I didn't think it was the worst, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell her blending and her precision was on point. So I
mm-hmm.
knew she's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Now, how was it with the two of you? Remember that competition where you had to describe to each other what the picture looked like? How was
yes.
that?
Oh, I was so happy to be a part of her team. I chose her definitely because she's so eloquent in the way she speaks. I knew she would map it out for me. Very simple, and she went first, and how she explained things was so. You know, detail that I can see what she was seeing. And so when it was my turn to explain, I just kind of followed her same pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she kind of understands, you know, or how she understands it. I just kind of did the same thing that she did.
Yeah.
So it was a great choice. I mean, I had to pick. I mean, I would have picked Todd. I'm not sure if you remember, but they said for me
yeah.
to pick.
And right,
I picked Todd.
Pick
I didn't know I couldn't pick him.
Wow.
You know, two of my favorite makeup looks from you was the zebra and the Vegas showgirl.
Oh, thank you.
I was very nervous with that competition because it was getting so close to the end. And, you know, I had picked you to win a long time ago, and so I was just thinking, oh, God, he's got to do, you know, really well on this, really well on this, and I just thought you nailed it.
Oh, thank you. It was hard. They gave us 30 minutes. It was crazy. I was like,
that's kind of, like, what's your approach? Like, when you have to do makeup that fast and you know it's got to be, like, dead on, what's your approach to doing the makeup? Like, what do you want to start with? You want to do the eyes first so that you make sure you have that done? Because I know you spent, not that you spent a lot of time, but you really paid attention to the skin.
Yeah, I really love skin. I think that's my favorite. Mm-hmm. Funny you mentioned, that's my favorite part of doing makeup is the skin. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I do in all the challenges is the eyes. I think it's the best thing to start with, because you can always use a wipe, you know, to clean off any type of spilled eyeshadow or fallout. You know, and then you can start with a clean canvas, and you can do your moisturizer and your foundation. So yeah, I always target the eyes first, so I can always mm-hmm. get the shape and start putting on. I just knew, and I think that with every competition, you know, I just wanted to get all the necessary things I need to do on the eyes, and then I finish the whole complete face, and then I'll go back and do all the details
mm-hmm.
because I just I wouldn't want to do anything that's not finished, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah, so that was kind of like my approach. I always like to do the eyes first.
Right.
What was your favorite competition, Nolan? What was your favorite competition?
Oh, my favorite. Oh, geez. I think the animal was my. It was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
The body painting is. I love body painting. The wedding. I love weddings. Meeting all those. Being the bride.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to do the bride, but you know, that was really fun. I don't know. The fashion show was amazing. Even though whatever, I had a disaster at the very end, which I didn't think was a disaster, but even though something crazy happened, I think the fashion show was it was the most chaotic, the most pressure, but that became the most fun.
Now do you think now, because of the pressure and because of the time, was that your reason for not taking off the lashes, or did you really feel like, you know, it could be a winner? Like, did you really not have enough time, in your opinion, to change the lashes?
Well, you know, I had a vision. I really wanted to show three different looks. And, you know, it's hard because you can't really see this on the show, but you know, from the first look that's bronzy and glowy and shiny to a very matted look on the second look. And the third was very couture, and we only had 5 minutes per girl. That's all we had to do a whole look. And I really wanted to showcase that I could do something really crazy in 5 minutes. The dress that she was supposed to wear was not the dress. You know, the hair didn't come out the way it's supposed to, so it didn't work altogether. I really wanted to pull those lashes off, but as you know, adhesive is on lashes needs to be rolled off, you know, with like a brush cleanser, a makeup remover. And they were already lining up, you know, to walk out. So I had no time to remove those, the brows. But, you know, my model sat in the chair and she said, every artist that becomes famous always stands by their work. And they always take chances, regardless if it fails or not. So she was amazing. She was such a great artist. She gave me inspiration.
Oh, wow.
And I just said, go out there, girl, and work it. And whatever happens, happens. I don't care. I'm going to stand by what I did.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I loved it. I was jumping up and down backstage. I was like, she's working it, even though I hated the hair and that's not what I asked
right.
for and whatever. But, you know, she's supposed to have, like, bobby pins everywhere and, like, big crazy hair. She's supposed to have this black dress on and very rock. It's an homage to, like, the 20s yet twisted. So it didn't work out, but it was fun.
You know, I guess it's kind of similar to Raynell when with the photographer, she stood by what she did. She wasn't changing it, you know, even though it didn't work out, even though he didn't like it, she stood by it regardless.
She did. Yeah, but she had, I mean, I would have taken those off if I had more time. You know,
yeah.
I would definitely listen to Dajna and Mishka. You know, if they're the client, I would have pull them right off if they said they didn't like it, even though I stood by it, but, you know, I didn't have time. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes you have to, and sometimes you have to kind of listen to the client.
Do you find it hard sometimes to carry out the vision of the client or the director or, you know, the designer sometimes? I mean, sometimes, like, there's, like, you can see a model and you can see the clothes or you see the model and whatever project you're working with, but yet they have one vision and you have to carry out their vision. But when you see the model and the clothes, you kind of see something different. Like, how hard is it for you to stick to the program, to stick to what they want and carry out their vision?
I think as an artist, it's very hard to do that. It's to kind of be on the same page. And you kind of pray to God that you're doing what they're visualizing in their head, especially if you do, you know, runways and fashion week and you have, you know, 20 seconds to do it each curl and you have a vision that they, but, you know, in those kind of situations, like, a face chart is always so necessary so that way you can see, you know, you guys both can be on the same page. And if you see a model that doesn't really fit the clothes, I can see a total different vision. I just kind of tweak the vision that, you know, the client wanted and, you know, apply it to her that it would be best, you know, she would look the best in.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, sometimes, like, you have this, like, 50s look, let's say, and it's best on a blonde, blue-eyed, you know, fair-skinned girl, and you get some with darker complexion and stuff, but you just tweak it to make it have that same feeling, but it's not necessarily the same colors and
right.
So on. Yeah.
So I have a question from the chat room, and then I have another question of my own. First, let me go ahead and ask you the question from the chat room, and they wanted to know, what have you been doing since the show?
Well, immediately after the show aired, it was in high, you know, we kind of had not do anything or not say anything for contracted until the show ended. So come January, as you know, I had a contract with Max Factor. So that was amazing. I was on tour for, you know, all these months before the contract ended in the middle of summer. And so that was great. And then doing different types of photo shoots with different clients. And then the InStyle magazine, I'm not sure if you've seen it, but that just came out, I think it was last month. It was the makeover-ish edition. It had Vanessa Hudgens on the cover. Did you see it?
No. So what was that? Was that like a September issue or?
It was their yearly makeover issue, but I was on page 6, and I had a picture with Jessica Stroop. She's on 90210.
Mm-hmm.
We did a shoot together, and then on page, like, I think, I don't know, later in the 100s or whatever, there is a 3-page makeup spread that I did on her and the breakdown of the products that I use and the direction of how to apply it. So it was a really cool shoot that I did. I mean, huge images on a major magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So they're great tears. My name was everywhere. So it was awesome. That was the best part.
I got to see if I can still find that.
Yeah, I saw it in Target. Every time I go to Target or I go to the grocery market, I always open it up. All right, bye.
And just kind of leave the page open.
It's so fun. But now I'm writing a show with a co-partner, and we're writing a reality show. And I pitched it to the same company that we did a blush, and I have a second meeting with them. So, you know, fingers crossed on this, and this is going to be something that's, you know, that's not out there in reality television. So I'm really excited, and hopefully this will come too. So that's something, and I'm working on a new line or coming soon. And that's, you know, everybody always opens a new line, so then I'm taking my time on that one.
Mm-hmm. Now, another question from the chat room is, what's your favorite style of makeup?
My favorite style is, you know, 50s period makeup. I love patriotic red lips,
and I love
black liner.
That was going to be my next question for you, but go ahead.
that's my ultimate favorite that I've always loved to do. It's my favorite thing. So, yeah, I think women look so feminine. It's timeless.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's it's very, if you can do it in brides, everything. I just think that red lips and you know, not everybody can wear red, so you have to add more blue or you have to add more orange to it. So, but, you know, that kind of same feeling is one of my favorite looks.
Now, my question was going to be about period makeup and if you thought, like, how important was that for the show? Because I noticed when we have you all have the competition with the period makeup, you know, some people really weren't aware of certain icons or, you know, didn't quite get. And even when you work with period makeup, and you could work with period makeup for 10 years or more, sometimes
right.
you're not get that eyebrow exactly the way the 50s eyebrow should look. It's going to be hard. But how important was that for that particular show? Because that was something that, you know, Charlie kept, like, beating over your heads, you know? Even when it came to, like, the 70s and 80s, when we think of period, some people just think 40s, 50s, 60s.
Yes.
We kind of forget about the 70s and the 80s.
Well, I thought, like, you know, it was very, I mean, in this show, Max Factor is 100 years old, you know? So, since we're sponsored by Max Factor, I think, you know, they really focus on period makeup, which is one of my favorites. And it's so funny because I got a lot of ridicule for, you know, from the judges in different periods. But, you know, I love the 20s. I love the 30s, I love the 40s, of all that style of makeup. You know, when we did that 40s look and, you know, or 50s or 60s, like, they were really, really, really specific. You know, they were like, well, that brow is not as arched as it should be. So they were nitpicking on certain items for everyone. But
mm-hmm.
I think it was very important for us. I think it was very important for everyone that was on the show to have known or to know the period that they were doing, for sure.
I'm trying to remember who won that competition.
Which one?
With the period makeup.
The icons.
I think it was Maxie.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was one of my biggest upsets of the show, but was that competition. But because I love Audrey Hepburn and I know her like inside and out, you know, so it was really difficult to hear the comments. But you know, as an artist, you gotta like suck it up, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And just move forward.
Let me ask you this: when you all at your competitions. No, was it similar to like America's Next Top Model where you get the photos from each competition?
No, we didn't get any get any of the imagery
mm-hmm.
or any of the pics. We asked, you know, cuz we really wanted mm-hmm. for our portfolios. I thought that would be great to add to our portfolio.
Yeah, but I think that would have been great for everybody to take away something from the show.
You know, I wish they did. I wish they listened to this. They should listen to this. And no, because then I think that would have been great to take away because you leave empty-handed if you don't win. And that would be amazing to take the photos with you.
Yeah.
I mean, we worked with some great people.
I mean, you all worked long enough hours. I think you deserved at least that.
Yes. Yes, we worked long hours. Go call them. Go call IMG and tell them. We want our photos.
I sure will.
That's funny because I never thought about that in a long time. So I'm calling them. That is it. I'm calling them right now. That's all I wanted.
What did winning the show mean to you, and how has winning changed your life? For your career.
You know, it changed it a lot as far as opportunity wise, but mm-hmm. I didn't make it easier. You know, there's so much competition out there, regardless if you're on a show or not. It's not as easy because on the show, even though I won the show, it's not as easy for me to walk into an agency and they're like, okay, well, we want you, you know? So
right.
Your work still needs to speak for itself. And so, I mean, but you know, other than that, as far as press and, getting your name out there and having your people know your name and being in magazines and so on, that completely changed my life completely. So,
are you with an agency now?
No, I'm not with an agency.
Okay.
I had two different agencies that I was going to be with, but, you know, I'm still shopping for the right agency.
Right. Right. And we have another question from the chat room. They're asking, have you been able to keep in contact with any of the contestants after the show?
I don't see Maxie all the time.
Okay.
He and I are very close. I don't even talk to him in a couple of weeks, but he'll get mad at me if I don't call him for more than a couple of weeks. he did a couple of shows together. You know, he's I talked to Charizard. Well, I haven't talked to Charizard in a long time. I've seen him in a couple of shows, but as far as you know, Farrah and all them, I haven't spoken with them in a long time, so I miss them to pieces. But it's funny because when we leave that elimination room and you're standing there with let's say you know, Sharzy or Mike or something, and you leave and they get eliminated, that was the last time that we saw them.
Oh,
so
wow.
Really, yeah. And especially like Rennell or Jessica, you know, that was, people who don't live near or in LA, you know, that was the last time we see them when we're leaving that elimination room, we're turning around and saying goodbye. Literally, that was the last time I saw them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's sad. But yeah, I don't talk to them as much as they should.
Well, tell me, you're working on a reality show idea, trying to pitch something. Would you ever participate as a reality contestant again? Do you think you would ever do that?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, probably, I don't know. I couldn't say right now yes or no. I mean, it was so much fun, but it was a lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard. It was hard to listen to all the and read all the comments on the blogs and stuff. So I don't know. It was really hard for a lot of things, but it was such a great experience. So I don't know if I would do it again or not.
I know Farrah said no. Sharzy was like, hell no, you know. but I mean, I can imagine it was a lot. You know, you're dealing with different personalities, people you don't know, just like you said in the beginning, you know, people you don't know, you don't know who to trust. Then it is a competition, so even though you get close to someone, it's still a competition, you know. So
right.
I can imagine every day was hectic, you know, not only is it a competition, but you're actually filming the show. So, you know, I think it would probably be a lot to do something like that again. But I thought for myself, just sitting back watching it, that it was just awesome. Because for me, watching the show, it made me really want to, as a makeup artist, just do a little bit better with what I'm doing as a makeup artist. It was, like, just challenging for me just, like, to watch and try to learn to be more creative, because that's one of the reasons why I really enjoyed watching Maxie. You know, he was talking about his stencils and the kit that he brought. I loved it when, you know, they said, okay, this is what we want you all to do, and then he was, like, going for it. And for me, that was great to see, because I'm always challenging myself to be more creative and kind of step out of, you know, my box a little bit and do something a little, you know, being able to do things right there on the spot. If a director or photographer or somebody asks you for something, kind of just getting out of my norm, even though this might be what I like to do, but they're asking for something else. So for me, it was just great just to actually see that.
Right. That was a great thing for a lot of artists to see. They need to be more makeup shows out there to inspire, you know, young artists out there to, you know, and that, or even, you know, anyone, any artist out there that is stuck with something that they're so familiar with, you know, a certain combination of makeup or something, you know, to step outside the box. It's good to see these kind of shows that give you that motivation and inspire you to do something different. So, you know, that's great. That's amazing to hear. We love hearing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
We have two more.
We wish it wasn't going to be a season two.
Say that again?
Oh, wow.
I said I wish, you know, never say never. You know, I've talked to the producers before, you know, recently, and, you know, because of the whole Project Runway scandal.
Oh, right.
You know, we really were supposed to follow Project Runway, the season that they're in right now, and you know, we would have been our show was really well done. The producers worked on the show, you know, and everything that went behind the show was really amazing. They spent a lot of money on the show. So if it was after Project Runway, I think we would have gotten better, press over it. And
mm-hmm.
I think that it would have been a bigger show, they would have made a season two. But it's still a possibility that there could be a season two.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, you know, Nolan, you haven't spoken to Maxie in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
So here's your opportunity now because Maxie is on the line. Hi, Maxie.
Nolan. I knew I was kidding. Yeah, Nolan has not returned my calls in several weeks. I tuned in a few minutes ago. I did hear you guys talking about that period challenge where we're supposed to create Hollywood icons. And I have to say, you know, there was many times in the show, like people may have been inspired by me here and there, but I was inspired by other people on the show. Like, for instance, that Audrey Hepburn, to me, was the most, like, dramatic metamorphosis that there was during that. I think that challenge, Nolan definitely should have won, and I told him that. And because of the lack of trust during competition shows, like, he probably thought I was just blowing hot air up his ass, but I really thought, wow, Nolan should have gotten that Audrey Hepburn. The brows were perfect. Everything was perfect. I have no idea why I won that challenge. I mean, I really don't.
Oh,
there were other challenges I should have won, like the 40s
yes,
challenge,
the 40s
with that,
challenge
with the poodle poop photographer.
You love him. Did you say poodle poop?
Yes, poodle poop, honey. That's what he is. I should have won that challenge. But that Audrey Hepburn one, that was definitely stolen from Nolan. If you guys go back and look at the before and after pictures, I mean, he literally rearranged that girl's face. And it was amazing. I just did whatever I could with my girl, you know, and did things that I knew were classically from the period of that actress. But my girl just could have never become Greta Garbo or whatever she was.
Your girl was fierce. So shut up.
Well, I know, but it wasn't like, you know what I mean? Like, I really stood by that Audrey Hepburn. But, and you know, there's other things you did that inspired me, too. Like, during the food challenge, those cranberries, like, were inspirational to me. And so was the zebra. Like, each time, by the way, Nolan won, before Nolan won, I would be like, Nolan, you're going to win this one. Like, I picked who the winner was. I think out of every single challenge.
He did. And who left?
And who would leave? Except for I was shocked with Charzy.
Well, that was kind of a surprise to a lot of people.
We were very upset over that.
Now let me tell you this. Blush, you know, it's not over. Originally, the show was supposed to air all at once in like 162 countries. Now the airing and everything sort of went bad because of the Project Runway legal stuff they were going through. But now Blush has run like for the third time in Australia. It just ended in August, and it just started airing in England this last Tuesday at 9:00 on some channel called Really. And
really.
Oh, yeah, it's in England. Oh, we're big in England right now. And so, yeah, it's still airing all across the world piece by piece. And so, you know, it's not over, really. Like, I sort of thought it was and was almost hoping it was. Like I Twittered today that I almost was over my post-reality stress disorder, and then I found out it was coming out of England.
I saw that.
You're on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter, but, you know, no one can really find me because there's a lot of Maxie, but I'm on Maxie, Maxie, Maxie.
Oh, okay.
You're on Twitter, Nolan? We should be following each other, Nolan.
Well, I didn't know you were on Twitter. Look, it's Makeup by Nolan R. Go look it up.
I just found you today, Nolan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just found you today. I didn't know you were on Twitter either.
I just started. I didn't get that whole Twitter thing, so I was like, you know, I'm gonna do that. So yeah, I saw that today. I was like, hey.
Well, we have a caller from the 865 area code. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Where are you calling from?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay, and what's your name?
Constance.
How are you, Constance?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. Do you have a question, Nolan?
I do. My question is concealer. I am a light-skinned black female, and I've always wondered about concealer. My skin is pretty flawless, but I do want to wear concealer. Hi. As Wendy says, how you doing?
How you doing?
What color concealer is the concealer? Should concealer be lighter than your makeup, or the same color?
Sometimes it all depends on your skin. Sometimes darker can conceal discoloration, and sometimes lighter too. But if you are a darker complexion, sometimes that little bit of red, which looks darker,
right,
you know, really cancels out some of the blue. And I have olive complexion, so I have a lot of, you know, blue under my eyes. And so that red will cancel, and it kind of neutralizes it. So, you know, always look for that kind of warmer shade.
Yeah.
But it all depends, you know. Because
if you go too light, it'll look ashy on you, no matter.
Yeah.
It's not going to
okay.
look like. It's absolutely true. You have to have a little warmth or redness in your concealer.
Constance, I was actually working with an actress yesterday and today who's a lighter complexion black woman. I mean, she's very light. And she's normally dark under her eye. And what we do, basically we're trying to use something orange without actually putting a lot of orange under the eye on her light skin. But we'll use like some type of like golden orange type powder under the eye. And that will kind of do the trick as well without actually having to put, you know, too much of an orangey type concealer under there. We'll put something close to her foundation color, but then we'll go over it with like a golden orange powder, and that works.
Okay, I'll try it because I'm really not a makeup person, but I do like to try to dibble and dabble sometimes. And I'll try that. Because I don't know what I'm doing.
Even white women, though, you know, would concealer a slightly salmon-y, you know, which you wouldn't put all over your face, but just under the eye for that area is right for white women as well.
Well, right. I don't wear a lot of makeup, so I'm going to try a little orangey, so see what I can do.
Just adjust the orange to your skin tone. So, you know, it wouldn't be like a darker orange. So just do something like Mac, like a salmon colored orange.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Y'all have
welcome.
A good evening.
You too.
Have a good day, girl.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And so, Nolan, that leads me into another question that I have for you, but I don't want to take away from Maxie's time because, Maxie, did you have something planned for tonight?
No, I was, you know, I just decided I was going to talk about, you know, go along with what we're talking about, like blush or whatever. So, and I pretty much said everything. I think you guys should finish up with Nolan, so I'm going to go. But I'll talk to you, everybody, next week.
Pardon me? I was trying to give you more time to talk. You don't have to go. I was going to wait to ask the question.
Oh, okay. No, please. Let Nolan, you know, answer the questions that are coming for him.
Okay. All right. Well, you don't have to go. But
I'll stay then.
Okay, great. Nolan, I was going to ask you if you had any makeup tips that you'd like to give out.
Well, there's a lot of makeup tips. Is there something specific that you want to hear?
No,
you know, I know what the...
Go ahead. I was just saying, anything that, you know, that you're used, you know, people ask a lot of you, or just anything that comes to your mind, your favorite beauty tip?
You know, let's see. For a lot of people ask me, like, trend-wise and what's coming out in trend and what to do and how to look for, you know, what you're seeing on for the current season, and how to do it and so forth. But God, that's a hard question because there's so many tips that I love. But one of it especially is like what you talked about earlier, is doing your eyes first. I think that's like the biggest, one of my biggest, you know, tips, like, that can save you a lot of time. Using a glycerin spray before your foundation always looks gorgeous. So, again, if there's any specific tip that you'd like to hear, you know,
I know what my
new favorite product is, but.
Yeah, let us know. What's your new favorite product?
Well, it's like It Cosmetics, and you guys got to go out there and try it. But it's a waterproof bronzer, powder bronzer. And
oh, wow.
It has, yeah. The creator used to be on Baywatch, but my friend just used it on and I was like, what is this? So I'm like obsessed with it now. So whenever I hear any type of like beauty talk or beauty blogs or anything, I like to hear what people are finding out there that's new. And so definitely try and search for that by It Cosmetics. And it's a bronzer, and it comes with a highlighter and shimmer and a deeper color. So.
Cool. You know what I'm curious about? I am tortured by these ads. Like, I have, you know, my favorite makeup lines, but on TV there's all these products from, like, Revlon or whatever, and they'll have these foundations that just sound miraculous. I haven't used any of them. I'm wondering if you guys have. You know, like, where they say, you just put a drop on, and it starts white, and then it turns into any skin color, or the one that is like, oh, dial your skin color, just turn the dial and you can get your shades. But like, you know, from winter to summer, you can have like your own shade or whatever. Like, do any of these products work? Is that for real? The one that's like the white dot that turns into any color?
I'm afraid of that.
Have you heard of it though?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what line it was. It was either Revlon or L'Oreal. CoverGirl, okay.
It's CoverGirl because it matches your skin perfectly, and they have like, it's.
But does it?
I don't know. I never used it.
But if it does, I really want to use it. You know what I mean? I just want to go. I really want to use it all the time. You know, but does it really work?
You know,
is there anyone out there that's watching or listening, do you know? Does this CoverGirl product work?
Yeah, I'm curious to know if anyone's tried it and if it worked. Because when I see stuff like that, I'm afraid to try it.
True.
Well, I dream about it, though. I think, wow, you know, in an emergency.
Right.
If you had like 5 minutes, I'd be like, boom.
If you have like five clients that are all different shades, and you can, and that would work with one.
Right.
it would match your skin. It would match all of their skin with one bottle.
I mean, that
or you just
fun.
Dial it up. You just dial up their color. Okay, click. This is you. Okay, click back. This is you. It's really eliminating the need for makeup artists, I have to say.
Yeah,
if that works.
Really.
It really is. Well, to the regular consumer, it is. But
yeah.
I'm gonna go out and buy it today. I am.
What's your favorite tip, Maxie? I would like to know.
Well, I like a lot of different products. You know, from a lot of different companies. I usually just like one or two products from each company. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that my favorite company is OCC, just because of what they have and because of their product line or whatever. But I have bits and pieces of everything in my kit. My favorite product in my kit is a 99-cent store white. Not from the 99-cent store. It's from a dollar store. It's a white eyeliner, liquid eyeliner, that comes in a... They sell them at wig stores, too, and they're 99 cents. It's my favorite.
White eyeliner.
Yeah, they have like blue or green or gold or silver and white, and it's liquid and it has the most perfect applicator, and it's 99 cents. Like, that is something when I arrive on a job and I don't have it, even if I know I'm not going to use it, I'm all stressed out.
that's a good point, is for a good makeup tip, is trust some things that are in your average store, like your dollar store or your, because you would be surprised if the same manufacturer is like Mac, you know, and something like Max Factor.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The same product. It's exactly
like that NYX.
Oh, yeah.
Like that NYX line or whatever, it has all, like, similar colors
yeah,
to a lot
that.
Of lime.
And the colors have a lot of pigment, the like the eyeshadows.
Yes.
Yes.
The colors have a lot of pigment.
Well, you know, my favorite product in the store is Erase. You know, that's my favorite. If you guys, Max Factor is actually, I'm not sure if you know, but they're stopping their distribution in America come January.
Yeah.
So, I mean, go ahead.
Oh, my God, I'm opening my kit now.
What is
it? I'm opening my kit so I can be, like, oh. Okay, there are a few great new things out there, though, that I like. Like, there's a new Makeup Forever. They have this color palette, color cream palette. It's called the Flash Color Case or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I have that, yeah.
I really like that because I can just smash it on and, like, do crazy stuff. The silver in that, it turns out to be the most insane eyeshadow. You can just sort of paint it on. It's great for people who are, like, artists, like Nolan, with, you know, that, you know, really paint with those, with your brush. Like, it's, you can just paint with these colors and use it as blush, as lipstick, as eyeshadow. It's really good. And then I'm in love now with these new eye shields that...
Oh, I love those. Those are amazing.
Yeah, this chick came up to me, and she was like, here, take these. And it's like this little white and black box called Shadow Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love those.
And so I always try to also do the eye first, like Nolan says, but I always end up forgetting because I'm so into the skin that I'm priming, doing all this stuff, and then I'm like, oh, darn, I'm going to use the black eyeshadow. So these little shields have saved my life because, I mean, I just, they do stick on a little tight, so it was a little uncomfortable peeling them off. I mean, like, you pull that skin back, but I'm in love with them.
Well, you guys, we have 2 minutes left, so we're winding down. I just wanted to say thank you, Nolan, for
joining us tonight.
And thank you, Maxie, for calling in. And
of course. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
And Nolan, before you go, well, first we just wanted to remind everyone to tune in every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to Beauty Talk. And you can call in with your questions or comments by calling 914-803-4399, or you can email your questions to info@illusionsbeauty.com. But Nolan, as we're winding down the show, we just wanted to ask you one last question. And thank you to all the people in the chat room as well, and to Constance from Knoxville for calling in. We just wanted to ask you, what does beauty mean to you?
Beauty is, you know, is something that's within. And so, and I think as makeup artists, that's what we love to is to bring that inner beauty. So is beauty definitely is something that's more, it's not aesthetic, it's something that's inner. And so that's what beauty means to me, is finding that inner beauty from someone.
Thank you so much. And
you are so welcome.
And I've sent you the information already, so look out for that. And in about 10 to 15 minutes, this show will appear on that page. So give it a few minutes, and this will be up on our profile page as well.
Yes, I will look it on my Facebook for sure.
Cool. Thank you, Nolan. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much. And you guys have a good evening.
You too. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
And I just want to say to Tina, because I know you're listening, Tina in Burbank, thank you for listening and thank you for all of your support. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.